hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In for Scott today, I'm Brian Barrett, and certainly very happy to have you along with us. And we're going to be talking about all things Murfreesboro today. Brand new city manager is here to join us this morning. I mean, so new, we still have the temporary tags, right, Darren Gore?
That's right.
Good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to share this time with you this morning. And when I say brand new, it's still pretty new, right?
Yeah. July 2nd was the official start date. So I guess I'm just over.
You're approaching a month.
Approaching a month. Yeah. And had a nice transition period. I think my selection to be the next city manager was in mid-May. So I had all of May and June to, quote, transition. Craig was kind of transitioning out and I was transitioning in. And I think that was a good move to it was a little awkward maybe at times when I was at meetings and wasn't really the authority and Craig was still the authority, but everybody was looking to me because they knew the decision that was made would end up, you know, being with me. So I think we handled it well, and it was a good transition. And this last month, it's exactly what I expected. It's been, you know, trying to drink from a fire hose, the old analogy, and everyone's trying to bring me up to speed. I've got a steep learning curve going, and but I've expected it. The workload is what it is, and I expect it will slow down in due time, but I'd say the first 6 months is going to be a pretty hectic time of my life.
Yeah, you probably so, but at least you have those trusting friends that have been around who have gone through that, you know, if you need to knock on the door, you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we've got one of the main decisions that allowed me to pursue this position. One, I felt like it was a call to God's new path in my life. But secondly, and maybe thirdly and fourthly, we've got such a great team at the city right now. I mean, the executive directors, the directors, assistant directors, such a great group. And when you've got that kind of group supporting you, it just fills you with extreme confidence. And again, the council, we've got such a great council. They have been so supportive of staff and our recommendations, and worked with us collaboratively, and of course we're pursuing their priorities and we always keep those in mind, but they have always been so when you add up the council, the co-workers, and even the community, Murfreesboro is such a great town, and our community is it's still so close-knit. So you add all that up and it's like, hey, how can we be anything but successful?
Yeah. Did Craig warn you, you know, part of this job is going on the radio and fielding questions?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've been on here a couple of times before, but yeah, so I texted out the staff today. I said, hey, I'm on the radio from 8:10 to 9, so if I start bumbling around on a specific answer, text me the correct information.
Well, I showed you my extensive notes, so you know, right. We'll see where things go here today.
Yeah, that's okay.
Kind of explain to folks, because Craig Tindall is not the city manager, but they're still involved. I mean, how is all of that working? Because the whole structure of how that looks is different now, right?
Right. Yeah, well, Craig took on a new role as a special counsel, counsel, to the city council. So he's really administering the Community Investment Trust, where the city just authorized the creation of a new sports authority. So Craig will be administering the sports authority that has yet to meet, but is about to meet, I think, in August. Also, there's we got our charter changed so that we could actually create a Murfreesboro, a city solid waste authority, in the event that that's necessary to handle some of our solid waste requirements. So Craig would be involved with that. And he's providing some legal assistance to the airport as well. He was a lot of economic development, a lot of FAA, a lot of federal guidelines, regulations and whatnot out at the airport. So he's doing that as well.
Is that due to the need and want of expansion and that kind of thing?
Yeah, out at the airport, you know, they're talking about getting, you know, more of that property developed with, I don't have the correct term here, but basically, tenants that would be operating businesses out of there and so on. So we want to get better hangar space. You can see the new terminal, which is absolutely beautiful. It's been out there for years. I mean, a few years now, but that place is, the airport has really become a hub of activity, not just for airport activities, but, you know, we've got city schools that are using community room out there. We've got a lot of our council meetings are being held out there. We have our executive director meetings out there. I know MTSU, I mean, a lot of places use that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've even heard they've been using that community room for weddings and birthdays and get-togethers, and so it's been a real...
It's a true community room.
you don't think of the airport functioning like that, but it's been outstanding.
Yeah. So Craig is still around, but doing so many other things that, I mean, I would think that sometimes if the old boss is still around, you know, that can be kind of intimidating at times too, but it can also help. So how are you approaching that?
Yeah, no, Craig and I have always had a great relationship. And I think we like each other. I like him. I think he likes me too, but he moved out to, the police department headquarters out off of Highland.
Oh, okay.
So he's come in the office. I'd say in the last month I've seen him a handful of times, four or five, six times. And he's checking in on me. Hey, how's it going? Are you okay? How can I help? And
he's been through the fire hose before.
He's been through the fire hose treatment. So he has a good perspective of what I'm going through. But he really did, through that transition period, he really did hand off a lot of things and to me, and he got me up to speed on some of the hottest topics, right, the hot button items. So it's been great. I mean, he and I went to the airport commission the community investment trust meeting the other day, and he ran that meeting, and people have done well by coming to me now, you know, and Craig has kind of understood he's in a new lane, and he stays in that new lane, and he just is there to help me when I need it.
Kind of figured that would be how he would handle that, you know, not be hovering, that kind of thing.
Oh, no, I think he was ready to move on from the city manager responsibilities, because it's a lot. And I think his season of life, he was just ready. He wanted to continue to work, and he still obviously adds a ton of value, and it is a great backstop for me. I mean, not only from his legal experience, but also the city manager experience. I mean, just knowing that he's a resource to me is great. So I have no hesitation on calling on him, and I tell everybody we're doing a new dance, or there's a new tune to the new dance, and we're all trying to figure out how to dance with each other. And I think Craig and I've pulled it off pretty well right now.
Murfreesboro City Manager Darren Gore joining us this morning here on the Action Line. And, you know, Darren, it's not like you're coming into this city manager role with, you know, first time seeing Murfreesboro and knowing what's here. I mean, this is home. You've been here, you started with the city in 2005?
2005, yeah, yeah. Well, and may come as a shock to some of our listeners, but I'm a Smyrna boy. I grew up in Smyrna.
So a Bulldog.
I moved there in 74 with my family. I was a young kid and started kindergarten in Smyrna and graduated high school from Smyrna. So went K through 12 and went off to Atlanta, to Georgia Tech, got my degree, lived in Birmingham a few years, and we moved back here in 98. So I worked for Cy Wiser at Wiser Company. It was a consulting firm here for about just over seven years. And yeah, 2005, the assistant director of the Water Resources Department, we called it the Water and Sewer Department back then, I took it and was the assistant director for 7 years, became the director in 2012 when Craig was made city manager, appointed city manager in 2018. He promoted me to assistant city manager. So I was operating kind of a dual role as assistant city manager and water resources director at the same time. And then, and really did not aspire to do, I was happy. And we at Water Resources, we were, man, I call it cooking with gas. Everybody was on the same page. And then this opportunity came forward, and you always are a little apprehensive about taking on a new role, especially one as large as the city manager, and understanding there's a lot of areas of expertise that I didn't have. But that was one of the interview questions the council said is, you're not a subject matter expert in all of these other things. How do you manage that? And you said, well, I know how to get resources to the subject matter. I know who the subject matter experts are, and I know how to equip them and get resources to them and trust them to make the right decisions.
Yes.
So that's all I'm doing right now. It's just kind of, I play middleman between council and city employees and just try to make sure everybody's equipped. It's a servant leader, you know, get into the servant leadership model, talking about that. I'll go on and on, but it really is just about, you know, the biblical principle of in order to lead, you have to put yourself last. And when people really see that in action, that I don't have any self-serving agenda, my agenda is to serve them, then people, you develop trust, and people are prone to maybe take more calculated risks when they know you've got their back, try new things, and you really kind of get to explore your full potential. It's a little cliche, but it really does work.
And to know that if there's an issue or a problem, you're going to be there with them to help lead, and, you know, first person up, last person to leave kind of thing. I mean, that's right. What it means to be a leader.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is. I mean, and you have to practice what you preach. I mean, you can't say these things and then act a different way. I mean, you have to have that character integrity, and people need to see it. And they've seen me. I've said this during, I don't know, probably several times, but people have seen me as assistant city manager and water resources director for years, and they've seen who I am. And I think I'm a pretty laid back, you know, I like to cut up and pretty casual type environment. But I know that as soon as, you know, you become city manager, I can tell people are like, you know, is this guy going to change? Is he going to be the same character we've known and hopefully loved for all these years, or is he going to turn into this tyrant taskmaster? And my goal is to be the same guy, have the same character, and support everybody like I have in the past, and not get anybody worked up. But everybody is watching, so it's an interesting dynamic when you first become the city manager.
Still going to tell those dry jokes and that kind of thing, right?
That's right. The dad jokes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. Murfreesboro City Manager Darren Gore is here with us. And, you know, growing up here in this community, nothing against someone coming in from outside. I think that can offer a great perspective, too. But to know where you've been maybe kind of helps guide where you want to go. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting growing up. You know, I was here pre-Nissan, and so
you weren't one of those Seward babies or whatever.
No, my dad moved in and started working at Interchange City in Laverne for Chromalox, and so I got to see Smyrna, you know, as I guess really Stewart Air Force Base was deserted for the most part, and then Nissan wasn't here, so it was really literally we had one blinking light, you know, on Front Street next to Lowry Street, and that was it. And then, so then Nissan came, and so you got to see this really, it just, this, my dad actually worked there. He was, I think his employee number was like 112 or 114. I mean, one of the first folks hired. So I've got to see Murfreesboro, yeah, turn from really into a small rural community into what it is today, which is just, you know, one of the top fastest growing communities around. And again, that was another compelling factor. You know, you want to be, that's why I left consulting and came to the city, because I saw such a vibrant, energetic growth in a city environment. I saw a very stable council, a very stable administration for the city. And I thought, hey, this is an opportunity for me to get into something.
Sure.
And do long, you know, as a consultant, you kind of have short-term projects. You design it, you get it done, and you're working for multiple communities. And it's fun. It's very satisfying to see these projects get done. But you don't necessarily have that long-range, strategic, hands-on, you know, working for something, working on something for 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So, yeah, I've, now that I'm coming up on my, I guess, just past 19 years with the city, and was consulting with the city for 7 years prior to that, got to be involved with all the Gateway, Medical Center Parkway development. I could go on and on, but Barfield Park, gosh, I was very hands-on in that design and construction. But you say where we want to be, and that's where I really want to, I think I'm gifted in this regard, but looking at that 5 and 10 year outlook or horizon on what do we want to look like in those time horizons, and really start structuring some goals and objectives to get there so we can measure ourselves. Are we becoming what we want to be? And if we decide along the way that things change and we need to move those targets or those goals, hey, we can move them and adjust.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff. We are talking here with Murfreesboro City Manager Darren Gore. And if you've got any questions you'd like to ask, something you'd like us to kind of talk about here this morning, if you'll text 615-893-1450, we'll get to it real quick. And we're going to talk about what the city is moving forward on, some of those hot button issues or hot button things that Darren mentioned just a second ago, and where we want to be looking in the next 5 to 10 years and such. So that's where we'll be in conversation. You're listening to The Action Line here on News Radio WGNS. Again, text your questions to 615-893-1450. Back in a moment, a traffic and weather check coming up too.
This is Stan Vaught. I'm a lot like you, a husband, father, farmer, auctioneer, and community supporter. I'm now a candidate for school board in the Las Casas, Walter Hill, Milton, Leanna, Oakland, and Sigel communities. I believe in community schools, vocational education, and getting education back to the basics. I'd appreciate your support for school board.
Please vote for Stan Vaught on Election Day, August 1st. Paid for by Stan Vaught for School Board, Stan Vaught Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Lee Colvin, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. And while you've heard the saying, slow and steady wins the race, that same concept can be applied to long-term investing. Investing a little bit at a time on a regular basis can really add up. We call this systematic investing, and though it doesn't guarantee a profit or prevent a loss, it's a way to take advantage of market volatility instead of enduring it. Give me a call, Lee Colvin, at 615-907-7056. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Habitat for Humanity's Legacy Point subdivision is making dreams come true.
It just does so much for the community when everyone can participate in home ownership. It builds stronger communities.
And you help build Habitat homes whenever you save at the Habitat Restore.
You know, that's a great investment for them, and it changes their life.
The Habitat Restore is at 850 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
This is Good Neighbor Events with Bart Walker. Brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control and the law offices of John Day.
I've got hay.
Here's Tom Sweat with AmeriCare Services Incorporated.
AmeriCare's moisture control services include mold testing, mold remediation, crawl space repair, vapor barrier, sump pump installation, radon testing, radon mitigation, and basement waterproofing. If there's something wrong in your crawl space or basement, we can probably help. Just ask for a free inspection.
893-7111. AmeriCare Services Incorporated.
Let's check those WGNS Good Neighbor events. The Legacy Gathering for the Woman's Club of Murfreesboro is going to be at Oakland's Mansion this year. It's not at the Woman's Club because they're totally renovating that historic building. But they do need your support to cover the cost of renovations. So make it a point to be at Oakland's Mansion on Saturday, August 10th, from 5 until 8 in the evening. And the proceeds preserve history. You can bike with a ranger at the Stones River National Battlefield on the first Saturday of each month through November. It's free, but you need to make an appointment. Contact the Stones River National Battlefield. There's a nighttime run coming up on Friday night, August 16th. It's Laverne's Howl at the Moon 5K. Call the Laverne City Hall for details. Don't throw away Old Glory. Bring your tattered American flag to WGNS and let the girls from BSA Troop 2019 at Trinity United Methodist Church retire it with dignity. Plus, we also recycle Bibles. Those are WGNS Good Neighbor events.
Good morning. Still some volume out here on 40 westbound over here at Fessler's. All that traffic coming in from Donaldson. It's sluggish right now on 65 southbound, trying to get down past Trinity Lane. It's busy, but moving fairly decent on 65 northbound as you come out of Murray County there into Williamson County, especially trying to get up through the Spring Hill area. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on that new menu. They also offer DoorDash, Uber Eats delivery, Prince'sHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
A heat advisory will go into effect this afternoon. A few spotty showers and storms possible late this afternoon. Blend of clouds and sunshine develops at a high into the upper 90s. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 76.
Our program, The Action Line, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. And we're getting back to those hot summer months here this week. A heat advisory in effect for today. And during the hot summer months, nudge up that thermostat just a little bit, and you can reduce your cooling cost. More tips at mte.com/myenergyplan. Action Line continues here this morning. Murfreesboro City Manager Darren Gore joining us here this morning. We had a little reunion with Wayne Blair and Rick Hall popped in just a second ago. You Smyrna guys, I mean, you know, once purple and gold, always, right? Is
that's
that what
right.
it is?
And Smyrna guys can only talk about Smyrna, too.
Well, so I guess that's true.
Murfreesboro folks just don't need to talk about Smyrna.
Well, you know, there's one thing about Smyrna that I find interesting right now, and I know you're the Murfreesboro City Manager, but my thought was, you know, 30 years ago, Murfreesboro looks like kind of where Smyrna is today, really growing and developing, and with population and all. We've got in Rutherford County, we have, you know, really big cities that make up the county.
Right. Right. The growth has obviously been the primary challenge for when I was at Water Resources. I mean, it was as soon as you got one project done to expand infrastructure to handle new growth, you didn't stop and take a breath. You started moving to the next project because you knew the growth was going to continue to come. So you just can't sit on your hand. You got to get into a proactive position because it's coming. And so we're doing that with roadways, with streets, with traffic. I know people don't necessarily see it some days, but there really is a ton of work and effort by staff to get ahead and start looking at roadway widenings, again, utilities to serve the community, parks and rec, and our public safety. We've done a little headcount projection for our city employees, what we expect from Murfreesboro for the next 10 years. If we keep up with growth, which again is projected to be a 30 to 35% population growth, if our workforce is commensurate with that growth, or it parallels that growth, that percentage, we're looking at about another 350 employees at the city of Murfreesboro over the next 10 years.
Wow.
And so that's 35 employees per year. So when you look at things like that, and then you think, wow, where are we going to put these folks? How are we going to pay these folks? And again, to maintain the level of service that we've all come to enjoy, the quality of service that we have, I don't think that the community is going to allow us to stop bringing new police or fire in, or new public works folks, or new parks and recs folks, and our level of service declines.
Sure.
So when that's one of the things, again, we're trying to get ahead of. So how do we not only support infrastructure for our population growth, the economic, I know we talk a lot about economic development opportunities. How do we try to attract folks who are going to bring good paying jobs to our community? But we're also having to look at a lot internally. How are we going to support our new employee growth to support the population growth? So there's a lot of intertwined components here. And again, that's part of my job, is to be that predictor, or to try to get ahead of those, so that we're in a proactive position versus a reactive position. And that's what the council expects. They want somebody who's looking around the corner and sees the future and advises them on how do we get set up for that position. How do we get positioned properly?
So all city managers have a crystal ball, right?
Well, well, you know, sometimes, again, you know,
I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, no, it's, yeah, you don't, but you do. You know, you do a lot of praying, and you ask God for a lot of guidance. So that's part of it.
One thing that strikes me about, you mentioned infrastructure, and there are a million things that we could talk about. Solid waste would be one of those.
Right.
But, you know, with those things, the city of Murfreesboro is not the only one in that boat. Rutherford County's in that boat. The state of Tennessee is in that boat. I live, for instance, at the intersection of a county road on one side, a city road on the other, split right down the middle, intersecting a state road.
Right.
Well, where do improvements come from? Who makes those decisions?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just one little issue that, you know, you have to have working relationships with all those folks.
You do. And again, I can't speak highly enough. Chris Griffith, Michelle Emerson, Jim Kerr, all our, I hate to name names because I'm going to leave somebody out that deserves acknowledgement, but they really do work well with TDOT. And again, with the county, it's, you know, it's tough. I think the county's, you know, highest funding program is obviously the school system. So sometimes it's the city takes a lead role in trying to get roads improved, even if it's outside in the county's jurisdiction, because we just know that again, to get proactive, as the city's migrating out that way. I mean, Veterans Parkway is a perfect example.
Sure.
of a city-funded project that tried to loop, you know, 840 back to 231, back to I-24. So because we knew that west was where our high growth area is, and that's still our high growth area. So We've got plans. We've got a major thoroughfare plan that tries to predict, you know, 2035, 2040 transportation needs, and we try to do, you know, high priority, mid priority, or you know, when I say high, you know, short term improvements, mid term improvements, long term improvements, and work the plan.
Mm-hmm. And Cherry Lane is going to be kind of one of those for
Cherry Lane. Mm-hmm.
That side, very similar to Veterans Parkway, to tie 231 to 840 to 24.
Yeah, to Broad, to 24. Yeah, yeah. And we were talking internally. I was talking with Sam Huddleston the other day and saying, hey, you know, we're about to kind of undergo a very similar. I mean, when I was consulting with Wiser Company back in, you know, the early 2000s, I was working on all that Medical Center Parkway, road construction, Gateway Boulevard, all the infrastructure to support the hospital moving out there. And I know we had economic development agreements and plans throughout that whole corridor that we've been managing for 25 years now. I said, we need to go back and maybe do a playbook of what should we have done differently. Did we make mistakes that we don't want the next generation? We're not making this playbook for us, because this generation, we've done it. We've gotten that corridor from I-24 over to Broad, or actually to Memorial, in the form of Medical Center Parkway. Now we've got this Cherry Lane set up that's going to be really pretty doggone close to what we did with Medical Center. Let's put a playbook together for that next generation of how do we show them our wins and the components and the actions we took to set the city up for success, to give the economic or the developers successful projects. Let's try to pull that together. So, because you're right, I don't want to call it Medical Center 2.0, but it's going to be different, but it's going to be very, very similar.
Yeah. Darren Gore is with us, Murfreesboro City Manager, and there are just a lot of things, I would say, infrastructure. Well, you tell me, what are the top two or three things that you hear from people out in the community that say, Darren, you really need to work on this or that? Roads are probably traffic. Yeah, that's probably high on the list or number one, would you say?
Yeah. I just got a text from Chris that said Cherry Lane Interchange is expected to bid the first quarter of 2025. So Cherry Lane's probably the big one. You know, we've been working on that for years and years.
Yeah.
And I won't get into a lot of the details. People may say, why is that taking so long? And just to hit on that for a brief period, but a amount of time, we did run into some wetlands out there that the Corps of Engineers basically they made us realign the road to avoid those wetlands. And matter of fact, we had to realign it, and there's actually five or six homes that are going to be impacted by it that we're going to have to relocate those families from their homes. So, I mean, the Corps, we had the road going through the wetlands and we thought we had it mitigated. They said nope. And we had to push the road up into where it was going to get into some homes.
And part of this daylighting was supposed to help with some of that mitigation.
Well, that's Town Creek.
Town Creek.
We can talk about Town Creek in a minute, but this is the Cherry Lane up by the Siegel Soccer complex. So that road has taken longer than we expected, but it was because of some wetlands issues and trying to negotiate a compromise with the Corps of Engineers. So that really, permitting these days, environmental regulations are tough, and roads are harder and take more time, effort, and energy to build today than they did 20, 30, 40 years ago because of the environmental regulations that you're involved with. And, you know, 40 years ago, that kind of wetland issue, that road would have gotten probably constructed right through it, and there would have been very little.
And I think folks in that area say, well, what wetland? We know that it floods every now and then when we get a lot of rain, that is something that they look deeper into now.
There's an endangered flower out there, and the only reason I can remember the name of it is because it's such a unique name. This is a kind of not its genus and species, you know, but it's called the swamp candle. It's a yellow, it's almost like an orchid looking, and there's apparently a couple of acres of this flower out there, and it's an endangered plant. So, you know, when you come across those things these days, you got to take significant amount of effort to avoid disrupting it. So that's what's taking so long on Cherry Lane. Town Creek, again, that's expected to bid before the end of the year. We have to bid that before the end of the year in order to receive our federal funds through the American Rescue Plan Act. And that's got to be built and constructed within 2 years. So by the end of 2026, Town Creek will have to be daylighted, if you will. Right now, it's got a pipe. It's piped or culverts between Murphy Springs over to Cannonsburg. All that's expected to be daylighted, which one has a huge, that is, again, it's a very high environmental benefit from the standpoint of really enhances water quality. But also it creates now a linear park that doesn't exist, but it kind of connects, it's going to connect downtown. Well, with the addition of a pedestrian bridge over Broad, it will connect, downtown to this linear park over to Cannonsburg, again, into our greenway system. So it's, if you see the renderings, people ought to go and check out the renderings on the city's website. it's going to be a beautiful project. And again, have a lot of environmental enhancement as well.
And of course, you think you get questions. I mean, being where we are, you know what I'm going with.
Yeah,
here,
I know where
you?
You're going.
You know, it's the question of the day or multiple times a day. You know, it's, well, what's happening here? You know, I think folks are seeing, you know, some of the businesses being relocated and across the street for that daylighting project, and they're thinking, well, everything's about to start. So I say, I don't know it much more than you do. Talk to Darren Gore is what I say.
Well, we again, the town, so the Keystone project, or you know, the economic development project that we've talked about, where again the fire admin has moved out to Thompson Lane facility. The Water Resources Department is about to move into a new facility out on Robert Rose Drive, so that those buildings, those old city buildings, can get torn down, demoed.
They're our last neighbors, by the way.
I know they are. I know. I kind of miss my office over there some days too.
I bet.
But the Town Creek. So yes, all those buildings that the city and the properties the city has acquired. That's actually going to make a really nice section of Broad from Vine Street down to Church Street, because you're not going to have any businesses. So there's not going to be any right turn-ins into all those right turn-ins for those those businesses. That's going to be eliminated. So you're really just going to have a straight shot. So that should actually help some traffic between on that section of Broad. We just met with the Keystone Group yesterday. And you know, we know that there's been some financing challenges with the hotel component of that entire plan. I think the mayor said it well. There's like three buckets or three, you know, components of the project. One is really the WGNS getting you guys relocated over to the across Church Street. Then there's the condo multifamily parking deck components, kind of the middle, and then there's the hotel that's really supposed to go over on the corner of Broad and Vine. We're looking at options on how to help finance the hotel and keep the project moving. It's a little behind schedule now because the hotel is tethered to these other two buckets.
I see.
And so people want to, we could finance bucket one and bucket two, but they don't, the banks don't want to finance bucket three to get tethered together. They they can do it separately, but really getting the first two components of the project off the ground, we really need to untether the hotel component. But that's got to go through city council.
Is that a deviation of the first plan, and that's why you have to go through
it? It's not really a deviation of the plan. It's just it's to help structure the financing better.
Okay.
So it's still all three components are part of the plan. It's just structuring it differently so it can be financed. So we just talked about that yesterday. So again, Mayor McFarland, he's so skilled in bank and not his knowledge of banking and finance and just construction is in general. So he's a huge asset to have in on these meetings, and very creative thinker, and is looking at options to help move the project forward. And the development team is in earnest trying to do everything they can to get the project going as well. And the council, there was communication to the council this morning on our meeting yesterday, which again, we're trying to be, we want everybody to understand, be at kind of at the same, level of knowledge as we move forward on these projects. So I think we're in good shape there. It's just a little behind.
A few months behind. I mean, I guess it just depends on the financing and how all of that works.
I mean, it could be, I think we're hoping that later this year it would start, maybe, and that's October, November, somewhere in that time frame. that's where we're hoping to get it going.
And you'd probably see some things in phases. I mean, because before the end of the year, you're going to let the project across the street. I mean, but in the next 6 months, you're going to see a lot more action downtown,
right,
maybe?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, well, in Town Creek, too, will be, you know, we'll have that bid. And so that's going to be going. So you're, yeah, in the next six to 12 months, there's going to be some things hopping, yeah, if you will, downtown.
We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to answer some of the text, I promise. I've just been enjoying our conversation here with Darren Gore this morning, the Murfreesboro City Manager. We'll get to your questions here. 615-893-1450. If you want to sneak another one in, we'll try to get to those when we come back.
Del Wamsley and the Wealth Cycle.
This is the wealth cycle that I've taught for 30 years. Buy one house, 10 houses, an apartment, two apartments, 820, 500 units, 1,000 units, 2,000, 5,000 units. And as you keep putting the money and the profits back in, you become one of those rich people. And much quicker than you'd even believe.
Learn Del's Wealth Cycle at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2023. Save 60%. Code 2023. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar net. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least master prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the new menu items that we have added is our Salmon Imperial. Our Salmon Imperial is a fresh-cut piece of salmon with shrimp and a crab meat blend, and then we've put our Alfredo sauce on top of it. It's great for a low-carb diet that you can get with spinach, but also it just has an amazing flavor with a mixture of all those flavors between the shrimp Alfredo and then our salmon. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good morning. Still some volume out here on 40 westbound over here at Fessler's. All that traffic coming in from Donaldson. It's sluggish right now on 65 southbound, trying to get down past Trinity Lane. It's busy, but moving fairly decent on 65 northbound as you come out of Murray County there into Williamson County, especially trying to get up through the Spring Hill area. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on that new menu. They also offer DoorDash, Uber Eats delivery, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
A heat advisory will go into effect this afternoon. A few spotty showers and storms possible late this afternoon. Blend of clouds and sunshine develops at a high into the upper 90s. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 76.
The Action Line, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, whose charitable foundation, Sharing Change, is funded by members who round up their electric bills to the nearest dollar each month as a donation and support hundreds of nonprofits. Find out more at sharingchange.org.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Murfreesboro City Manager Darren Gore joining us this morning, and as promised, a couple of your text questions here, and this is really more of maybe a comment and a praise for Murfreesboro Public Works getting out and cleaning up all of those tree limbs and getting things back in order after the storm yesterday. So that's a nice compliment.
Oh, listen, you can see some good Facebook posts as well, but you know, those crews have to get out and do clearing, clean up and clear up, you know, and sometimes terrible adverse conditions. And so I did get a message from Raymond Hillis. He's the executive director over Public Works. And yeah, they had 16 down trees, and they did have a high water location over there at College Street and the underpass. So they're working today with solid waste to get out there and get all the debris and limb it, you know, leaves, larger limbs that got blown out of the trees yesterday. So they're going to be working all day today on that. And I know that Sam mentioned that the National Weather Service is investigating whether we actually had a tornado over at the MTSU. You showed me that video this morning. So
kind of wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it is wild. So, yeah, you know, the Public Works, Solid Waste, Parks and Rec, Water Resources folks, sometimes they're kind of some unsung heroes. They actually, again, all through COVID, you know, those folks had to come in and they're getting in trucks with each other and going out in job sites with each other. Didn't have the luxury of kind of working from home. Their jobs are out in the field and dealing directly with customer services. And so they get highlighted when we have these kind of I won't call it an extreme weather event, right? They get highlighted there. So
sure.
So we need to highlight them every time we can.
A reply to that said, also don't forget MPD. They were out directing traffic and
yes,
all that stuff
yes,
too.
Yes, police. If our signals go out and the police get out there, they're having to sit through those adverse conditions and manage traffic, fire as well. The firefighters getting out. Managing, you know, if there's any accidents. I don't think we had any. I think Chief McCluskey told us that no one was injured or hurt yesterday. And we just tell everybody, well, be safe when we're cleaning up, too. Yeah. So everybody stay safe.
It's that time of the year. I'm going to give you the last two questions, and we've got like 3 minutes to touch on some of these, so there'll be quick points.
Right.
Any update on the West Side Park? And said earlier in the show, you mentioned the new sports authority. What is that all about? So
yeah,
there you go.
Right. Well, so the West Park is advancing. We've got construction drawings pretty much ready to go. We actually had some meetings with council to talk about funding strategies since the cost of the park has gone up. So we're hoping to have that bid. I think Nate Williams, our executive director over Park Services, Recreation Services, said, you know, October, November bid. And so we'll have that hopefully started construction end of the year, beginning of next year. I'm sure we'll be doing press release and roll that out, let people know. But yes, it is advancing. I know it's been a long wait for a West Park, but we're ready to go and pull the trigger, and we've got the money to do it. With regards to the sports authority, that really, I mean, I'll say this, I'm not a subject matter expert on this, but this is an opportunity where we can get into this authority can operate somewhat outside the more like a private sector entity, where we can start coming in and getting some advertisement, like for example the Siegel soccer indoor facility, getting a host to do some ad, you know, somebody
like
that
a corporate would, sponsor
like
or
a
something.
Sponsor, yeah, like a corporate sponsor. That's the word I was looking for. A sponsor to get out there and start doing some signage, and so where the city can capitalize on some of these larger sports venues, getting those sponsorships, those can get funneled through the authority, and there's more flexibility for those opportunities through the authority than running it through council.
So maybe like Darren Gore soccer field or something
yeah,
like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm willing to put up the bucks, I can put Darren Gore soccer field. But it's, Metro Nashville has a sports
right.
authority, and they do that, you know, a lot of things through that authority in Nashville. So we're just kind of mimicking that to create more opportunities.
Can probably help bring events here with all the facilities.
And again, sponsorships and revenue dollars. And so it's a venue to leverage our recreation facilities.
Well, Darren, it's been fun talking to you. I know between myself and Bart and Scott, you know, we'll be talking with you over the years to come, and certainly appreciate it. Congratulations on the new job. Thanks for taking an hour here with us this morning. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have.
I've greatly enjoyed it. I did just get a message from Sam Huddleston that Siegel Soccer Complex had 1 million visitors last year.
Wow, a million.
And when people come in for these sports events, guess what they do? They get hotel rooms, and they eat here, and then they leave. And so it's good for the city.
Good stuff. And I hope you're having a good morning out there, Sam, too. Darren, thanks.
All right, appreciate it.
And that's going to do it here for the Action Line. The podcast will be up shortly. Thanks for joining us today.